Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to our Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference call of our Srila Prabhupada Srilamrita summary sessions. And as part of the summary sessions, we are now going to hear summary of chapter 24 from Her Grace Induleka Karuna Mataji. Hare Krishna, Induleka Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining this session and giving your very precious time and association, Mataji. Now I hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Shama Supriya Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much, Mataji, for organizing this every Friday and being here and taking the lead on Srila Prabhupada's Leelamrita summary. This is no class. It's just a summary of, at least for me, it's just a summary of the entire chapter. So thank you so much, Mataji. We'll get started with the prayers. I'd like to thank everyone for this wonderful opportunity to read, to relish, and to preach and to share the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada from New Jagannath Puri Dham. Thank you so much to Vinita Gandharvika Mataji, who repeatedly pushes each and every one of us. And, you know, she's always finding new speakers for the Friday session. So I'd like to really, really thank her for this opportunity. Let's start with the prayers. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Saji Jivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Dapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Mancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Putale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatharine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam Karoti Vachalam, Pangum Langhayate Girim, Yat Kripatamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dina Tarinam, Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram, Hare Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Today we will be looking at the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada in San Francisco, which will soon be called New Jagannath Puri Dham. So let us start. It's a long chapter with quite a few things happening. So I will get straight to the content. So in January of 1967, Srila Prabhupada, he flew to San Francisco to meet some of his budding devotees there and disciples there. So one sec. Okay, so Srila Prabhupada, he so for the last couple months, I think it's just it's around March when this chapter is, you know, talking about the events that happened around March. And Srila Prabhupada, he went to the Haight Ashbury district, and there the Krishna consciousness movement was actually gaining some success. So one weekend, the devotees went to perform kirtan at the park, and a crowd started forming. And when the number of people that it was attracting started increasing like anything, some of the devotees came and they ran to Srila Prabhupada and they told him, "Oh, Prabhupada, there are many people there coming. Please, you should come and see." So Srila Prabhupada immediately rushed. And this was the time when Srila Prabhupada's clay mridanga came from India. You know, he had requested for it for a long time back, and it was just brought around this time. So he asked them, "Okay, please wrap the clay with the mridanga in a nice cloth." And then he told them, "Be very gentle with it. It's easily breakable." And he asked them to bring it, and they rushed to the park. And Srila Prabhupada, he was in such ecstasy when he starts seeing the people who have assembled there and how they were dancing and singing. And actually, there is a video that we can see, so I'll share that in a bit, or maybe I can't share that right now, sorry, it's a YouTube video, I'll share it later. Okay, so then the devotees they were performing this kirtan so nicely, and Srila Prabhupada, he went right in between them and he sat down and he started playing his mridanga. And this is the first time that the devotees actually were hearing the sound of the traditional Indian drum, right? Because until then, Srila Prabhupada played different kinds of drums. But this was the first time that they were hearing what the traditional sound of kirtan would be like. And the moment Srila Prabhupada came and he plays it and he starts singing in a very loud voice, the kirtan took a completely different spin. And Mukunda Prabhu, who was there, he says, "See, Srila Prabhupada has played," he states that although Srila Prabhupada played many different drums before, when he played the clay drum, it was a completely different feeling. The feeling was like he was seeing an old friend after many, many years. So it felt so natural. And Srila Prabhupada was like in very, very great, in great ecstasy when he was playing on this. And this became the talk of the community. And all the devotees realized, oh, this is what a kirtan should sound like. You know, bringing that one additional component made things so different. And the kirtan was a great success. And because Srila Prabhupada, because of his age, the way he dressed, everything made him stand out. He was very striking over there. And he became the center of attraction for so many, all the people who had assembled there. And until then, when the disciples alone were out in the park and when they were doing kirtan, it was a fun chanting experience. People were nicely dancing and singing. But the moment Srila Prabhupada came, he established that authority, you know, of the entire Hare Krishna kirtan became the history of it became established right there when he came. So Govinda Mataji, she says that when Swamiji came, the whole disciplic succession came. And Srila Prabhupada, although he, you know, all kinds of people are there, devotees, non-devotees, and they were all dancing and chanting in their own style. But he just wanted to hear the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and that itself made him pleased. He was not judging anybody by their externals or what they were doing. So among all the people who joined in the park, one of them was Linda Katz. Okay, so she came to the park. She saw the Swamiji from a distance. At that time, everybody was calling Srila Prabhupada Swamiji. So she sees him from a distance. And she was a 25-year-old grad student. She was studying Greek literature at that time. And she was looking for a new, different, exciting experience, the same reason why everybody at that time had come to that particular place. But she somehow did not, she was serious. She did not fit well in the hippie community. She was quite intelligent. She had a lot of questions. And she was kind of, you know, in her inclination was more spiritual. So the first time that she sees the kirtan happening in the park, she feels like this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And she sees Srila Prabhupada and she decides that, oh, I have to go meet him and I have to go see who this guru is. And like that, the next morning at 7 o'clock sharp, she goes again to the storefront, to the temple, and she attends their kirtan, the chanting session, and Srila Prabhupada's class. And she says that meeting Srila Prabhupada felt just like I was meeting an old friend. And she felt completely at home. She felt very protected. Now, throughout this chapter, as I was reading, I realized that so many people felt the same way. The moment they saw Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, they felt completely safe. They felt very protected. They felt like, oh, he is here, you know, to take care of us, to help us. That was the experience that many of them felt throughout. So she came, she started joining regularly for the classes, and she could ask her questions to Srila Prabhupada, and she was getting the right answers. So she decided, it is time I become a disciple. So she asked Srila Prabhupada if she can get initiated, and Srila Prabhupada initiates her. And her initiated, so this was Linda, and her initiated name became Leelavati Mataji. So she's not in this picture, although this is, yeah. So she was so interested in serving Srila Prabhupada personally. And so Srila Prabhupada decided, okay, I will reciprocate. And he decided to teach her how to cook. And he told her that she can start preparing his lunch. Now, she was very excited to do this. Now, how did Srila Prabhupada teach cooking? I mean, get them to cook his meals. It's not possible, right? Because they don't know how to prepare Indian food. So Srila Prabhupada, he would personally teach all the Matajis the art of cooking for Krishna on weekends. So he would teach Janaki Mataji, Govinda Mataji, Nandarani Mataji, Leelavati Mataji, and Yamuna Mataji. All of them would, you know, huddled together in the kitchen, and Srila Prabhupada would teach them how to roll the chapatis, how to make the sabji, how to make the seasoning, everything he would teach. So, but only the Matajis were attending this. Okay, so one day, Mukunda Prabhu, so that's why I have put their picture here. So he came to the class and he stood by the doorway and he was trying to see, okay, what's going on? So Srila Prabhupada, very seriously, he asked him, what are you doing? So he said, oh, I just came to see my wife. So Janaki Mataji was also in the kitchen. So he said, oh, I just came to see my wife. So Srila Prabhupada, he asked him, are you going back to Godhead or are you going back to wife? And hearing this, everyone was so amused. And Mukunda Prabhu, definitely, he was embarrassed. And he started reflecting on Swamiji's seriousness. You know, what Swamiji was doing there was very, very sacred. He was teaching this particular skill of cooking for Krishna. And by spending that time with the Matajis, because he spent so many hours to teach them, he was so dedicated in, you know, giving them the time so that they understand how to prepare the meals properly. He was doing, by doing this, he was inspiring them so much. So this was one way in which Srila Prabhupada, he tried to correct his disciples the moment he found something, you know, missing, so, or something wrong, or something incorrect in their, you know, ideas. Same way, Leelavati Mataji also, because she was quite educated. She was one of the most intelligent, I mean, one of the intelligent Matajis there. And she felt like, okay, the other lady devotees are not quite as educated as I am. So she always had a proud air about her, and is what it says in this chapter. And so Srila Prabhupada decided to teach her also a lesson on humility. Okay, so that it was an incident that happened on an Ekadashi. And Srila Prabhupada, this is also something that's very, very dear to all of us. This is the first time Srila Prabhupada is making this special preparation. So on Ekadashi, because it was a fast day, Leelavati Mataji, she thought, okay, maybe she can just come anytime because she doesn't have to prepare Srila Prabhupada's lunch. So because she was the cook at that time and she was preparing lunch every day for Srila Prabhupada. And she decides to come late. And when she comes into the kitchen, she sees Srila Prabhupada is already busy working over there. He was heating something white. It was in a skillet. And he was scraping the bottom of the pan very vigorously. So he said, oh, there you are. So she said, I was wondering where you are. So immediately, you know, she kind of chided Srila Prabhupada. And she said, I thought it was a fast day. It's a fast day. So Srila Prabhupada again corrected her. And he said, in Krishna consciousness, a fast day means a feast day. So we are offering this to Krishna. Now, for all of us who attended, or all of you who attended yesterday's class, Mataji was explaining a lot about how we have to be on Ekadashi, you know, how, although we may be fasting, we may not be having our prasadam, we need to make sure that the Lord is well fed. So Srila Prabhupada was explaining the exact same thing. He said, we are offering this to Krishna. And so like this, Srila Prabhupada continued his scraping. And once it was done, you know, the whitish, sticky looking preparation was complete. He asked her to go and put it on the windowsill so that it cools down. And he said, later it will harden and then we can cut and serve it. And so he makes all the devotees, you know, he goes, he asks her, okay, now after she served Srila Prabhupada's lunch, then he asks her, okay, go bring that thing from the windowsill. And she goes and brings a piece, and Srila Prabhupada, he has some, and he said, wow, it is simply wonderful. And like this, he shares it with all the others. And they all say, wow, this is simply wonderful, wonderful. And everyone started calling it simply wonderful. And one of the Matajis, like, he keeps asking Leelavati Mataji, okay, what are the ingredients in this? What do you think is it? And she's like, I did not see what you did because I was busy in the kitchen. But, and he keeps asking her this, and she's not able to answer. And finally, Govinda Mataji, she says, oh, this tastes like it is made of sugar, butter, and powdered milk. And so he's like, oh, you are the artistic one. You are the one who is very intelligent. But see, and that was how he taught her a lesson on humility. So at that moment, she felt really bad, but afterwards, she also understood what it was. So these were just some examples of how he was personally training each and every disciple of his. So after this, one morning, like Srila Prabhupada, he would sit on the dais and in the temple on the altar, there was this form of little Krishna. Okay, it was 2 feet high and he had his left hand on his hip. So the picture above is from Canada. Yeah, it is from Montreal, Canada temple. And this was a picture from there. But the one below is the one where this particular form of Krishna and Srila Prabhupada in the San Francisco temple itself was. So this is from 1967 in the temple. And this is how he looked. I just wanted a closer picture of the Lord. And that's why I just put this. So this form of the Lord. Okay, so it was brought to Srila Prabhupada by Gurudas Prabhu. So Gurudas Prabhu found him at an import store and he just pleaded with the store manager to sell it to him, and he got it for $35. And Srila Prabhupada, he brought it to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada named him Kartamashi, the boss. So he says, okay, this is the boss. And so he one day he was sitting in front of the deity and in the temple, and they were all performing kirtan. And as usual in the mornings, sometimes the people from the nearby area, the hippies, they would come in. And after smoking marijuana, and they would just come and sit with the devotees, but mostly they were harmless. But this one day, this boy, he just kept on moaning and groaning, and he was trying to disrupt the morning program. And Srila Prabhupada just continued with the kirtan very, very strongly. He did not react at all, and he remained completely undisturbed. And after continuing the kirtan, then they stopped the kirtan and they started their japa. So Srila Prabhupada, he started chanting japa loudly, and the devotees were also like very, you know, disturbed seeing this particular boy and the way he was reacting. They were worried, okay, what to do? And the Prabhus like Hayagriva Prabhu and Haridas Prabhu, from who were from New York, they did not know how to react to this. And nobody from San Francisco was ready to take this boy out. So he just continued, and Srila Prabhupada continued his japa. And the devotees also, they decided, okay, we also have to try to continue our japa. But at the same time, they constantly kept an eye on this particular, you know, boy, wondering, you know, when he's going to leave, when is it all going to end? And eventually the boy started shrieking, I am God. And he just got so angry because he kept saying, oh, I'm God, I'm God. And he started moaning, wow. And nobody paid attention really. Or Srila Prabhupada specifically, he was not paying any interest to the boy. And so he got so frustrated. He just said, I am God. And he stormed out of the temple. And after the incident was over, you know, the devotees were a little shaken up. But Srila Prabhupada, once again, he finished chanting and started Bhagavad Gita. So this was their every morning lecture. And at this time, he was lecturing on the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And Srila Prabhupada, he continued on the transmigration of the soul. And he said, oh, foolish people, they aspire for material acquisitions. They don't know that these things are finished once the body is dead. But spiritual life is of utmost importance, because no matter what, it is never lost. So even if Krishna consciousness becomes inconvenient, it becomes uncomfortable, we should not give it up. So he was trying to stress the importance of, you know, being in Krishna consciousness, and stressing the fact that a devotee is never disturbed. And that point seemed very, very relevant to each and every one of them after the incident that happened that morning. So Srila Prabhupada told them that a devotee has to always be tolerant. And in order to explain the story, the subject further, he narrated the pastime of Haridas Thakur. And he was talking about how Haridas Thakur is a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was a Mohammedan. And he had to endure very severe beatings, floggings at the hand of the Muslim magistrate. So he narrates the pastime, and he says that all the others were flogging him, and he continued his chanting. He continued chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he was undisturbed. He was steady. So Lord Krishna says that a person who is spiritually advanced, for him, there's no misery in this world. Not even in this world, don't even have to worry about any other world. So a devotee is, suffers no loss, Prabhupada explained. And so that is, this is the sixth chapter of the section from verses 38 to 44, where, you know, Arjuna says, oh, what happens if I fall down, right? So Krishna says that a devotee is, doesn't have to worry because there is no loss. Even if you have a little bit of, you practice a little bit of devotional service, from the next life, you can definitely continue. So Srila Prabhupada, he explains that. He says, even if a person doesn't become perfectly Krishna consciousness, or even if they fall away, then his next birth will also be human. And you can make perfection. And if you make perfection in this life itself, then you, once you leave your body, you go back directly to Krishna. So he quotes like the Janma Karma Chame Devyam Evam Yoveti Tatvataha Tyaktva Devam Punar Janma Neti Mameti Sojana. He says that one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities, as Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, he does not, upon leaving his body, take birth again in this material world. He attains my eternal abode. So Srila Prabhupada explains that verse in this context, and he says that that means that a person goes back to Krishna's supreme abode. So Srila Prabhupada, he tried to stress again to his neophyte disciples the urgency. He said that you have to be very serious. Why should we wait for another birth? We have to then again be born in a pious family or a rich family or maybe in some other planet. When we have a human body in this lifetime itself, we can attain all perfection. But he said, you have to be very serious. You have to try for that perfection. And oh, here, Srila Prabhupada, he actually knew at that time that some of his disciples, they were continuing to smoke. They were continuing to indulge in activities they are not supposed to. So he was specifically telling them all that you have to be very serious. But he generalized it. He said, we are not serious. We are not very serious at all. This human civilization means that people have to be serious in perfecting this human body. That is perfect human civilization. And he said that this is missing. So Srila Prabhupada's greatest desire is that each and every one of us, we raise our standard to 100% Krishna consciousness in this very life. And by doing that, and he felt that by doing that, we can go back to Krishna. And he knew that this is possible because of the potency of the chanting of the holy names. So after this incident, the next section talks about Upendra Prabhu. Now, he was one of the dear servants of Srila Prabhupada. So it talks about how Upendra Prabhu came in touch with the devotees in San Francisco. So one day in March, this 18-year-old boy, his name was Wayne Gunderson, and he was walking down the street, and a piece of paper, it blew, okay, along the sidewalk, and it caught on his foot. So he tried to first kick it off, and he just thought, I'll kick it off while I'm walking. But then the paper just stuck on. So he then stopped, and he tried to kick it again, you know, after he paused, but it didn't go. So then he reached down, he picked it up, and he found that it was a flyer, and it said, stay high forever. And it advertised the location, and it said there are lectures by Swami Bhaktivedanta at this place at this time. So this particular boy, Wayne, he was actually planning to go to India at that time. He wanted to find a guru. He was doing some Hatha yoga. And so he thought, okay, now there is a Swamiji here. So let me go and see the Swami. And after meeting Srila Prabhupada and going to the temple and attending some classes, he started getting so impressed with Srila Prabhupada. Especially, you know, he loved the way Srila Prabhupada was chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And he found that his lectures very authoritative. So, and Swami, like Srila Prabhupada kept on stressing that we are not this body. And what Wayne loved the most was that when he spoke about Krishna, he described Krishna so personally that it was like Srila Prabhupada was introducing us to Krishna. Like he was just like a friend. He was introducing us. Oh, this is my friend. This is what he looks like. This is what he is like. So Wayne really loved it. So he decided to continue attending these classes. And after a few weeks, he asked Swamiji for initiation. He asks him, he goes to his room and he says, I would like to be a disciple, you know. And Srila Prabhupada, he initiates him with the name Upendra. Of course, it's a little lengthy section. So in the interest of time, we'll condense it here. And this Upendra was living with his girlfriend and some other friends. So Srila Prabhupada felt, oh, this is not right. Upendra is not living up to his vows. So he says, I am going to, okay. And this girlfriend, she was not interested in coming to Krishna consciousness. She did not like to come to the temple. She did not want to meet Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada decided, oh, okay, I can't get him married to the girl. So let me do one thing. Let me save Upendra. And like this, Srila Prabhupada, he says, okay, I'm going to make you a brahmachari. And at that time in San Francisco, there were around 25 devotees. But of all these disciples of Srila Prabhupada, rarely anyone was a brahmachari. The only very strict brahmachari at that time was Jayananda Prabhu. So he was older than the rest. He used to drive a cab all day, and all day, even while driving, he used to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And when he was off his work, as you know, driving the cab, then he would come to the temple. And he would always be doing some service or the other. He would be cooking, he would be cleaning, he'd be doing any service he could find. Or he will sit with, you know, Srila Prabhupada in his apartment. So that was the standard of Jayananda Prabhu, who was the strict brahmachari there. And he used to chant very serious japa. You know, he would sit cross-legged, he would squeeze tight. He squeezed his eyes so tightly shut. And he would just continuously chant very, very intensely. So in New York, Srila Prabhupada had a dozen brahmacharis. But the problem in San Francisco was it was quite relaxed. The rules were so stretched out. So it was difficult to follow the rigorous life of a brahmachari there. But Prabhupada thought, yes, I will try to see, you know, if Upendra Prabhu can become a brahmachari. So he asked him to come. You be my personal servant. You come and live with me. Now, Upendra Prabhu was so delighted because he loved to just see Prabhupada, to do things for Prabhupada. He just wanted to be there and serve him in any possible way. So he immediately said, yes, yes, I will come right away. And but Prabhupada said, you please continue to keep your job. Actually, Upendra Prabhu had a job at the post office. He said, you continue to keep that job, and then but then you stay here. So every night, Prabhu would be off work at midnight, and he would come then to Srila Prabhupada's room, and Srila Prabhupada would keep it unlocked. And he would come in, and he would just, by the time he just falls asleep, Srila Prabhupada would wake up. And he would have his dictaphone ready, and he would be dictating into that. And so at that time, Srila Prabhupada was dictating, composing the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So Upendra Prabhu would hear that, and he would just nod off to sleep normally. But like this, he really relished the sweet, close association. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes give him his roti, his, you know, his remnants, and he would enjoy eating that. And he used to feel like that is even more delicious than the prasadam that we get downstairs in the temple. Although it's the same food, because Srila Prabhupada has had it. So like this, Upendra Prabhu, he just continuously felt like, I just want to serve Prabhupada. And he used to always say, and he used to be very cheerful when he thinks that, Oh, he would say also that, I just want to be Swamiji's dog. This is what he would always say. And so one day he went to this psychedelic store over there where it was said that there are some new imported pictures that have come. So he thought, okay, from India, so let us go check it out. And he went to see if there are any nice pictures of Lord Krishna. So he selected some and he takes them to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, he sees those pictures and he selects one as his favorite. He selected the picture of Krishna standing and playing his flute in the moonlight. Okay, by the and the Yamuna River is flowing by it. And Srila Prabhupada told them that in this picture, Krishna is known as Govinda. And he held up the picture and he quoted a verse, which is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.239. And he writes down the translation of the verse and he reads it aloud to the devotees. And it says, my dear friend, if you still have an inclination to enjoy material life, society, friendship, and love, then please do not see the boy named Govinda, who is standing in a three-curved way, smiling and skillfully playing his flute, his lips brightened by the full moonshine. And so he calls Yamuna Mataji and he says, oh, you can write nicely, because he knew that Yamuna Mataji is a trained calligrapher. So he asks her to print the verse and display that along with the picture and put it by his sitting place in the temple. So Upendra, when he starts thinking about, you know, what Srila Prabhupada just said, and he thought, oh, Srila Prabhupada is so fixed in, you know, Govindaji. So he thought that if he was praying, if I can just fix myself steadily in serving Swamiji, who has such love for Krishna, then I too will become transcendental. And he felt that it was not possible for him to see, that's what he felt, that it was not possible for him to see Govinda the way Srila Prabhupada was seeing him. So he thought that he should just serve Swamiji, the pure devotee of Govinda. And in that way, he could also become pure. So once again, he was like, I just want to be Swamiji's dog. He says that and he just smilingly leaves the apartment. So that was how Upendra Prabhu and Srila Prabhupada had their exchange. Of course, around this time itself, the New York devotees, on the other hand, they were trying to finalize a building. And as discussed in the previous chapter also, and they were trying to get this building purchase somehow done. But what happens is that they, in the process, they get cheated and they lose around $5,000. And Srila Prabhupada from San Francisco, he tries to guide his disciples and he tries to shed, you know, they were all so dejected and, you know, desperate at this time because they didn't know what to do. They let Swamiji down. They lost their money, so many things, and they could not get the building. So because of that, Srila Prabhupada, he personally writes to each and every one of them. And he, from San Francisco, he tries to fight the case. You know, he writes to the, you know, Mr. Prince, you know, Mr. Price, and his associates and all that. And he tries to help resolve this issue, and he sheds light from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he used to send transcendental knowledge also to them so that they can get some peace at this time. So one verse that Srila Prabhupada writes to them is from the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Recently we just heard this. It was the 18th chapter, Prahlad Maharaj's prayers to Lord Narasimha Dev. Yasyasti Bhagavati Akinchana Bhakti Sarvai Gunais Tatra Samasate Sura Harova Bhaktasya Kuto Mahatguna Manoratena Asato Dhava Manoratena Asato Dhavato Bahi. So and he explains how important this translation is at this point. He says that a person who is not in Krishna consciousness, he has no good qualities. However so-called gentleman one may be, or academically educated he may be, he is still hovering on the mental plane. So he must commit some nuisance, being influenced by the external energy. But a person who has unflinching faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has all the good qualities of the demigods. So Srila Prabhupada, he wrote to them that, in other words, you should not keep your trust on so-called gentlemen of the world, however nicely dressed they may be. In the matter of discharging our mission of Krishna consciousness, we have to meet so many so-called gentlemen, but we must be very cautious for dealing with them, as we are cautious in dealing with serpents. So reading this, the boys, the devotees from New York, they really wanted Srila Prabhupada to come back. And so he said, yes, I will be back. And he set April 9th as his return date to New York. But he still had so much to do in San Francisco. It was at this time that Malati Mataji, one day she hurried into Srila Prabhupada's apartment, and she takes out a small item from her bag, her shopping bag, and she shows it. She keeps it on Srila Prabhupada's desk. And she asks him, what is this, Swamiji? So Srila Prabhupada looks and he sees this 3-inch wooden doll with a flat head, a black smiling face. He has round, big eyes. So seeing that itself, Srila Prabhupada, he immediately folded his palms, he bowed his hand, and he offered respects. And he thanked Malati Mataji. He said, you have brought Lord Jagannath, the Lord of the universe. And he was so happy. His eyes were so brightly lit. He said, he is Krishna. Thank you very much. And Srila Prabhupada was so ecstatic. And then he said, he explained, this is Lord Jagannath. He's a deity of Krishna. He's worshipped all over India for thousands of years. And he is worshipped along with two other deities. His brother is there, whose name is Balaramji, and his sister Subhadra. So Malati Mataji confirmed, yes, there were similar figures at the store. It was another import store. It was an import store where she found this little Jagannath. So Srila Prabhupada said, you should go back. You should get them too. And so Malati Mataji and Shyam Sundar Prabhuji, they both hurry together to the store. They get the other two dolls in the set. And Srila Prabhupada, he places them all and he shows them how to exactly place them. So first he puts Jagannath on the right. In the center, he puts the smallest figure, who was Subhadra Devi. And she was reddish. And then the third figure, Balramji, he is white in color. He puts him on the left. So like this, he placed all three of them and he looked at them and he asked, does anyone know how to carve? And Shyam Sundar Prabhu, he said, yes, I'm a wood sculptor. And Prabhupada said, okay, do you know how to, we'll have to carve. Can you carve 3-foot high copies of the same thing? Srila Prabhupada, he immediately decided that, the appearance of Lord Jagannath in San Francisco is the will of Krishna. He could see the hand of Krishna there. And he said that, we have to receive, we have to worship the Lord. And so he told, if Shyam Sundar Prabhu can carve the deities, then Prabhupada promised them that I will personally install them in the temple and the devotees can start worshipping the form of Lord in San Francisco itself. So then he said, we will rename San Francisco as New Jagannath Puri Dham. And Srila Prabhupada chanted, Jagannath Swami Nayana Padaghami Bhavatume. And he said, this is the mantra for Lord Jagannath. And Jagannath means Lord of the universe. So this mantra says, Lord of the universe, you kindly be visible to me. So he said, it's very, very auspicious that he has chosen to appear here. So Srila Prabhupada thought that Lord Jagannath is very liberal, very merciful to even the most fallen. And he was explaining this to the devotees that because of that, the devotees will be able to worship Jagannath. Because the worship standards for Radha Krishna deities in the temple is very, very high. You need to have a very strict standard. And so the devotees were mostly not able to comply to that. But he felt Lord Jagannath is super merciful. So his worship standards are very, very simple. You could even just chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And even if the devotees are not so advanced, they all would be able to manage, you know, worshipping the deities in the temple. So he said March 26th will be the date. That is the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the date we will be installing the deities. And he told them, you have to prepare an altar. You have to do a big feast. And then we can do the installation and start worshipping Lord Jagannath. And he explained, you know, he drew for Shyam Sundar Prabhu. He helped with, you know, the drawing, and he put it to scale. And like this, with all the different processes in this deity installation, Srila Prabhupada was involved in, and all the devotees were participating in so nicely. And at that time, he explains that, okay, so this is what we are going to do on that morning. Everyone will sit in the temple, read about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We'll have nice kirtan. And in the evening, we'll have a ceremony for installing. So, and of course, there will be fasting. And after the moonrise, everyone can break a fast. So with a nice feast. So at that point, yeah. Srila Prabhupada then they all prepare and they all get ready for this day. And on the 26th of March, the Jagannath Baldev and Subhadra were ready. They were beautifully painted. There was this nice canopy and there were lots of lights, and the altar was set up, and Srila Prabhupada, he came and he chanted. And they held kirtan. And so while the chanting was going on, you know, people were so tired. So he decided, okay, let us try to make it enthusiastic. And they tried to read as much as possible from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And Srila Prabhupada, at the end, he said, okay, now it's time for us to install the deities. So he has a kirtan for that. So before the kirtan, he explains that, see, first, these are the steps that we need to be involved in, he says. And this is his instruction to all the devotees there and instruction for us. He says, first, we need to hear about Krishna. So I'll say it as he said. You are hearing about Krishna and you have to think. Then you have to speak. Otherwise, it will not work. So, Shrotavya Kritavyascha Dheya Pujascha. And you should worship. Therefore, you require this deity for worshipping. We have to think of, we have to speak, we have to hear, we have to worship. Pujascha. And should we do this occasionally? No. Nityada, regularly. Regularly. This is the process. So anyone who adopts this process, he can understand the absolute truth. This is the clear declaration of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada, he explained that if you cannot remember all the topics, what we are speaking from the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, then at least we can remember the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And that is the easiest process. He said, you hear the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then you have to speak it. You have to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And just by this hearing and chanting process, this is the foundation for us to advance in our spiritual life. And he said, without hearing, you are simply going to concoct, waste time, and you will start misleading people. So you have to first hear from the authorized sources. And after this, Srila Prabhupada, he conducted the entire deity installation. There was continuous kirtan during the installation. And of course, and he says, this is how we should offer lamp. And each and every one has to offer the lamp. So at that point, instead of lamp, they offer candle. So they offer a big candle to the Lord. And he says, now I have presented everything necessary for your spiritual life here. The temple was there, the devotees were there, the books were there, and now deity is also there, and there is always prasadam. So Srila Prabhupada wanted the devotees to now take advantage of Krishna's mercy and become successful and happy. And he was ready to go to any length to help them out with this process. So Srila Prabhupada was thinking that, okay, yes, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he introduced deity worship. He introduced initiations for anyone, regardless of caste, race, nationality, anything. And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he also wanted all the people from the West, all the people from the West to actually come along with their Indian brothers and chant Hare Krishna. So it was his mission, Srila Prabhupada's mission, to come to the West and to fulfill the desires of these great, of his spiritual master and of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, of his predecessor Acharyas. He wanted Vaishnavas also to be created among Westerners. So he wanted them to become proper, pure devotees. So for that, in order to strengthen it, in order to boost it, they really needed deity worship. So Srila Prabhupada, he was confident that this is also his spiritual master's direction only. And he knew, he had so much faith in Lord Jagannath because he's so merciful, even to the most fallen. So he prayed, please, my dear Lord Jagannath, do not be offended by this small reception that he received at New Jagannath Puri. And Srila Prabhupada, he continues and he explains once again. So just repeating that Srimad Bhagavatam recommends hearing, chanting, thinking, worshipping. Of course, we have the nine processes. And he says that this process, which we have now introduced on the advent of Jagannath Swami, means that now this temple is completely fixed. So this is the worshipping process. He will show them the aarti. He says, this is aarti. At the end of kirtan, the aarti will just go on, and you take the blessings from the fire and you offer something in return. You know, you put in a few dollars, whatever you want as a contribution. So he says it's a very simple process, and this is how you can realize the absolute truth. And he puts one more request. Another thing I request you, all the devotees, when you come to the temple, you bring one fruit and one flower. If you can bring more, then that's very good. But if not, it is not very expensive to bring one fruit and one flower and offer it to the deity. So I will request you, when you come to the temple, you bring this, whatever fruit it may be. It does not mean that you have to bring very costly fruit, any fruit, whatever you can afford, one fruit and one flower. And then he gives a mantra, Jagannatha Swami Nayana Padagami Bhavatumi. And he asks them to just continuously chant that. So I was just reminded of when I went to Atlanta recently, I saw this, that even over there in the temple, so many devotees were coming and they had bags and bags full of fruits and flowers and offerings and vegetables and everything for the Lord, you know, and they would bring that and they would offer it and then go and put it in the temple kitchen. So I was just thinking that practice is there to this day. So, where I was from in South India, mostly we would just, offerings would be limited to what we get either at the temple or in the form of cash. We never used to bring supplies to the temple other than flowers, or garlands. Those things and all we used to offer, or aarti material, but bringing vegetables to the temple and all was something new that I had seen. So, yeah. Now, after this happened, I'm running short of time. The next day, the devotees, they were so happy that Jagannath is brought here and so excited. So what did they do? The devotees just took Jagannath deity from the altar and they just carried him to Golden Gate Park, and they had a nice kirtan over there. So within a few minutes, hundreds of devotees, they started on, sorry, hundreds of people started gathering in the meadows and below Hippie Hill. That was the hill. And this is a picture of Srila Prabhupada also in the hill and Jagannath Swami right there, Lord Jagannath right there. And so everyone started dancing and clapping and chanting and, you know, around Jagannath. Everyone was so excited. And after many, many hours, the devotees, they came back and they put, returned Jagannath Swami, Lord Jagannath, to his altar. So after they came back, Srila Prabhupada, he said the deity should never leave the temple because Prabhupada did not know that they went with the deity. So he warned them that the deities don't go out to see the people except on special occasions. They are not for parks, for the birds to drop stool on. If you want to see the deities, you have to visit them. So all the people, not just the devotees, everybody around, because of the presence of Lord Jagannath, he was attracting so many visitors into the temple. And these people, they would come, they would offer a loaf of bread, a half loaf of bread, they would offer fruits, they would offer flowers. And someone heard that, oh, you have to offer everything before you use. So people started bringing their clothes. You know, they were not necessarily devotees, but they were bringing new clothes that they before they wear. They would keep it there and they would try to get the blessings of Lord Jagannath. After this, there is an exchange where Srila Prabhupada privately in his room, he was talking about how that during the kirtan in the temple, he was thinking about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing before Lord Jagannath. And he explained how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he traveled to Puri, he danced in front of Lord Jagannath with such ecstasy, he was unable to say anything more than jug. And that was all. He was just continuously thinking, Krishna, for so long I wanted to see you. And now I am seeing you. This was the mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada, he was just relishing that in and seeing Srila Prabhupada and hearing this from Srila Prabhupada, the devotees understood that there's such an ocean of difference between them and Srila Prabhupada. You know, Srila Prabhupada was never a hippie. He wasn't at home over there in the Haight-Ashbury LSD area with so many street people, psychedelics, rock music, all this hippie jargon, everything. But still, he spent so much time with them. He would eat with them. He would joke with them. He was completely dependent on them. And but sometimes, you know, they would remember. So while they are having all joking with him and eating prasadam with him, they never realize that, oh, this is the special personality who has come to help us. But once in a while, when Srila Prabhupada shares these messages, they realize, oh yes, they would remember he is a very special personality who has come. So because they felt when we chant, we are not chanting remembering the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but when Srila Prabhupada, he was chanting, he he remembered Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan before Jagannath in Puri. So like this, one day Govinda Dasi Mataji, she was asking a question to Srila Prabhupada because she had this question for a long time and she wanted to know if it is, she was not sure if it is appropriate or not. So she, but still one day when Srila Prabhupada, after his lecture was over, he asked, okay, he will always ask, are there any questions? And Govinda, because nobody else asked, Govinda Mataji thought this is the right time. And she says, there is a pastime of, you know, Lord Krishna's, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asking for where is Krishna and falling into the waters. Can you please tell us that? Or is that not appropriate at this time? So she would, and Srila Prabhupada, he just lights up so nicely and he smiles and he says, yes, yes, your question is very nice. I'm so glad. And he starts talking about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he is the symbol of Krishna Bhakti. And he used to always say, I have never seen Krishna, I have never seen Krishna. Or he was never saying that, oh, I have seen Krishna, you know. He was always mad in separation. And he explains that that is the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is called viraha. Viraha means separation. So it's like, Krishna, you're so merciful, you're so nice, but I'm full of sins. I cannot see you. I have no qualification to see you. So he says that if one feels the separation for Krishna in this way, then that is going to enrich our Krishna consciousness. So that is how we have to feel. We have to feel completely unqualified, and we have to feel that, you know, separation from the Lord. Not that, Krishna, I have seen you. Okay, I'm happy. This is it. You know, I have understood you. That's the end of the story. No. So he says that this is the feeling of separation Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has, and it is the mood of Radharani, Srimati Radharani, and that is the mood that the six Goswamis of Vrindavan also follow. And he sang, so we are in the disciplic succession, so we also continue to follow that same mood of worshipping Krishna in separation. So Srila Prabhupada sings, He Radhe Vrajadevike Chalalite He Nanda Suno Kuto Sri Govardhana Kalpapada Patale Kalindi Vane Kuta Go Shantata Viti Sarvat To Vrajapure Kede Mahavihva Lau Pande Rupa Sanatana Raguyuga Sri Jiva Gopalako. I offer my respectful obeisances to the six Goswamis, namely Sri Larupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Dasa Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, Sri Gopala Bhatta Goswami, who were chanting very loudly elsewhere, everywhere in Vrindavan, shouting, Queen of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani, O Lalita, O son of Nanda Maharaj, where are you all now? Are you just on the hills of Govardhan, or are you under the trees on the banks of Yamuna? Where are you? That was their mood. That was how they were executing their devotional life. So, and then he just keeps on repeating that it's a very nice question. And he, Srila Prabhupada himself, goes into a devotional ecstasy. And all the devotees fall silent. And after some time, Srila Prabhupada, he just sings Jai Rad, Govinda Jai Jai, Gopala Jai Jai, Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jai Jai. And he just leaves the room after, you know, 10 minutes of kirtan. And so the devotees, they all rose up to execute their different duties to go, but they all knew that what Srila Prabhupada experienced that day was this, his intense feeling of separation from Krishna. And it was a very deep, ecstatic feeling, because just by being in Srila Prabhupada's presence during that special stillness, that they, you know, the few minutes that Srila Prabhupada remained there in ecstasy, in their presence, they also could feel a glimmer of that same love for Krishna. So like this, Srila Prabhupada, there are a couple of instances in this where Srila Prabhupada, more than a couple actually, in this chapter where Srila Prabhupada's ecstatic emotions come out and are revealed to us. So one night, the devotees invited Srila Prabhupada to hold a kirtan on the beach. And because there was nothing scheduled that night in the temple, so he said okay, and he got into the car and they drove to the beach, and all of them had nice kirtan by the beach. And Prabhupada was dressed in this long checkered coat over a hooded sweatshirt, and during the kirtan he started clapping and he danced, and all the devotees, they joined, they formed a circle around him. And when the sun set, they faced the ocean and they raised their hands and they sang loudly Hari Bol. And after that, they, you know, they had wrapped potatoes in foil and apples with cinnamons and raisins and brown sugar, and put it in coal, and And they made a fire, and that was what they all ate that night. But you know, it was the disciples' idea, but Srila Prabhupada, he was very happy and he just followed whatever they were doing, and he had the potatoes. And so this was California Kirtan style. So at that time, even Haridas Prabhu and Hayagri Prabhu, they composed a song about Narada Muni. They sang it to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada said, continue composing more such songs. Because it's easier for, you know, the people to relate to it. So at the end, as the night grew dark, all the stars appeared over the ocean, and the devotees, they stood close to Srila Prabhupada for one last kirtan. So just like in the temple at the end, they bow down, and Srila Prabhupada, he would end with all glories to the assembled devotees. Same way he ended here. All glories to the assembled devotees. He said, all glories to the assembled devotees. And he says, all glories to the Pacific Ocean. And they all laugh. They enjoyed with Srila Prabhupada. And he was doing exactly what they wanted. And he chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So they were doing what they all chanted. So they were doing what Srila Prabhupada wants. So Srila Prabhupada also reciprocated very nicely and lovingly with them. And after this, there is another incident where Srila Prabhupada was trying to write a play on the life of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he narrates, you know, the different scenes, and he asks Hayagriva Prabhu to write it. And then talks about how Srila Prabhupada holds a kirtan in Stanford University, and how more than 200 students come and they join that. And then finally, there's this very sweet engagement that Srila Prabhupada has at the YMCA. So the audience are mostly children, right? So the devotees, they had a kirtan, they had big posters over there with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And before the lecture, Gurudas Prabhu, he comes to Srila Prabhupada and he reminds him, you know, that maybe you should have a simple talk, since all these are small children, they are between 9 and 14 years old. So Prabhupada, he just nodded very silently. And in the class, Srila Prabhupada came and he began and he said, is there a student here who is intelligent? And nobody responded. So one of the teachers, she started pushing one boy to, you know, raise his hand. And so the boy raised, and Srila Prabhupada asked him to come forward. So he pointed, and then the boy came and he pointed to the boy's head and he asked, what is this? So the boy, he was amused and he said, my head. And then the boy, Srila Prabhupada pointed to the boy's arm and he asked, what is this? So the boy said, my arm. Srila Prabhupada pointed to his foot and then he asked, what is this? What is that? So the boy said, my foot. And he still looked very, you know, puzzled. So Srila Prabhupada said, yes, you say this is my head, my arm, my foot, my body, but where are you? And so the boy was puzzled. He was completely taken aback and he couldn't answer Srila Prabhupada's question. So Srila Prabhupada continued, we say my hand, but who is the owner of my hand? We say my head, but who is the owner? Where does the owner live? I don't say I hand, I say my hand. So my hand and I are different. I am within my body and you are within your body. But I am not my body and you are not your body. We are different from the body. Real intelligence means to know who I am. And that was Srila Prabhupada's lecture at the YMCA. After this, it was time for Srila Prabhupada to go back to New York. And he, once again, he looked back as he was leaving. He looks back at the devotees and the storefront, which was now a temple. It was New Jagannath Puri. And the devotees had become a family. And he told them that if you follow my instructions, you will remain strong and continue to be serious and sincere. Then Krishna will help you. Now Lord Jagannath is present. So he was like, the devotees would have to worship him faithfully. And they would get purified by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and by following the spiritual master's instructions. So Srila Prabhupada, when they reach the airport, the devotees were in tears, but he assures them that he is going to come back if they hold a Rath Yatra festival. So he says, you should arrange a nice procession and we can attract many, many people. At that time, the deity may leave the temple. So it was only 2.5 months that Srila Prabhupada stayed in San Francisco. And at that time, he had this throng of very young, community of people. And many of them were now disciples. Although they are just, they were just assuming their spiritual identities. They were just following their vows. He knew that, some of these people may fall away, but he couldn't stay with them continuously. His time was limited. So Srila Prabhupada, the father of two small bands of neophytes, he left one group and he headed east where the other group was waiting in a mood of joyful reception. They were super excited. So we'll hear about that. Actually, we'll hear a little sad pastime next time. Jai Srila Prabhupada. I just wanted to add one more thing. This was a quote that His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj said, and I just saw it today. So it said, it was in line with whatever Srila Prabhupada is saying here. And he said, the more that we are engaged in Krishna's service, the more that we chant his holy names, the more we hear his glories from pure devotees, the more our taste for serving Krishna, our desire increases. So thank you so much, dear devotees. Thank you for this opportunity, for allowing me to share, to speak. Harikatha. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Indulekha Mataji. What a pleasure to hear you. It was so smoothly flowing. You covered the entire chapter without any trouble, actually, very easily. You covered the entire chapter with such a beautiful flow, covered all the main points. It was so nice to hear you, Mataji. And also so nice to watch the presentation that you made. So much effort has gone into this and it was very absorbing. Thank you so much for your efforts. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Actually, reading Leelamrita is so beautiful. I just was so afraid. It's so huge, each chapter, that I really did not want to, I did not know how to dwell into it. But thanks to you, Mataji, for your suggestions, for helping out with this. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. All glories to you, Mataji. Beautiful, beautiful class. I was half-minded because our Fridays are very, very busy here. I joined late. But what a beautiful treat, Mataji, from the bottom of my heart. I'm so thankful, even if I was here, there. And when, surprisingly, I was also, sorry, but I was also doing my aarti because I won't have time after this. And I was doing aarti, and that time only when I was showing the diya to Jagannath Ji, you started speaking about Malati Mataji, and it is so beautiful. Krishna, how he arranges not only big devotee's life, even a tiny devotee like mine. We all can feel his presence. That's the beauty of our dear Lord Krishna. Who else can be like Krishna, if not for anything, for just for this reason, how interesting personality Krishna is. And, and whenever I feel happy about being a devotee of Krishna, I immediately feel a very, a feeling of gratitude towards Srila Prabhupada. Had it not been Srila Prabhupada, how would we know how to feel for Krishna? So everything belongs to Srila Prabhupada. And whenever there is a glorification of Srila Prabhupada, there is nothing better than that. Thank you so much, Mataji. There is everything that you are saying. I was thinking, okay, I'll bring this point back. I'll bring this point. But now I am completely blank. I just want to say that I'm very, very happy that, to hear this from you. The Prabhupada Katha from you was just like a nectar, Mataji, for a Friday morning or mid-morning. Thank you so much, Mataji. Ever so grateful. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for sharing and for sharing about Lord Jagannath too. We are missing darshan of Jagannath over there. So at some point, please share picture, or if you can show darshan now, that would also be very beautiful.
Hare Krishna. Sure, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Kamadaki Mataji. You were on video the whole time. I know, Mataji, I don't come on video enough. Oh wow, one second. Hari Bol, Jai Jagannath, Jai Baldev, Jai Subhadra, Hare Krishna. Wow. Jai Nithai Gaura.
Jai. Jagannath, Balram, Subhadra, Nishishikor, Nithai Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai, very nice.
Thank you so much, Mataji. They are so cute, so beautiful. They're so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing, Mataji. You dress them so beautifully, so sweet.
Okay. Hare Krishna, Induleka Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. What a wonderful and sweet class, Mataji. Throughout the class, I can see your enthusiasm. It was not at all dropped, Mataji. And by your enthusiasm, I feel enthusiastic, Mataji. Thank you so much for taking up this session and giving this beautiful summary, Mataji.
Mataji, I learn from you, Mataji.
Mataji, I have no way to learn, Mataji. Each and every day I'm learning from you, Mataji, Bhakti Sangha devotees. You are all giving awesome inspiration. Whenever our bhakti is low, whenever I get to class, I can feel the inspiration, Mataji. I can feel your sincere services to Bhakti Sangha. Through this only I am getting inspiration, Mataji. Please bless me, Mataji. I should also have this kind of inspiration. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Shyam Supriya Mataji. Thank you for organizing this, Hare Krishna. Thank you, dear devotees. I actually already went over time.
Mataji, can I speak?
Why are you asking me,
Mataji? Yeah, you're closing the call, Mataji. That's right. Okay. Hare Krishna, Mataji. What a beautiful, beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much for detailed summary. It was 1 hour class, as you said. I'm not saying it is over time, but I was saying that so detailed class. Thank you so much.
Yes, Mataji, there were so many pastimes. I mean, I did not feel like missing. I mean, there is still much more in the chapter, but I did not feel like missing many of them. So,
such a beautiful.
Really like to seek for
it. Very nice how Prabhupada was teaching cooking for the Matajis. And that I really like when that Prabhu came and want to meet his wife. And then Prabhupada was saying that I was thinking, what will I do? I always just find out where is my husband. What is he doing? Is he taking care of my daughter or not? If I'm doing some service, you know, I always take that only. So, very beautiful, Mataji, very beautiful. And how the devotees took out Jagannath and went out without even telling to Prabhupada. That was very nice innocence, we can see. Mataji, if I missed or did you show the video?
Can I show, Mataji?
Yeah, after I finish my sharing and then we can stop that. Yeah, very, very beautiful.
I forgot about that part. I first had it in the presentation and then it doesn't work on my Mac. So that's why I had to remove it out. Yeah.
Okay. So very, very beautiful, Mataji. Each and every point that you are sharing was so nice. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
So much, Mataji. And thank you for the summary that you shared. That was really helpful in checking, you know, what all should I include? What should I not? And Mataji had included the Simply Wonderful recipe. So I was thinking, okay, maybe that is very important. So we should do that.
Even for my chapter also, it helped me very much, Mataji.
Yeah, it was very, very helpful. Yeah,
all those points covered all the summary, actually, whatever she put in that video.
Very nice.
Nice, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Anjilaka Karuname, Mataji. Koti koti dhanvat pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Srila Prabhupada Amruta ki jai. Mataji, aaj Jai Pataka Maharaj ne aapka sahi naam diya hai, Induleka Karunamayi Mataji. To wo karuna nikal rahi thi, itne sincerely aap ek ke baad ek leela explain kar rahe the Mataji. Koti koti dhanvat pranam, please accept our humble obeisances. Srila Prabhupada Amruta ki jai, Induleka Karunamayi my Mataji ki jai. So sincerely you take us in a Srila Prabhupada Amruta Mataji. Aise lagta tha ki bas sunte hi jaye. Jaise Maharaj class rahe, that much potency in your class, Mataji. Hari bol, koti koti dhanvat pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Gopinath ki jai, beta.
बहुत सिंसियरली डे बाय डे, डे बाय डे यू आर टेकिंग क्लास लाइक एजी कीर्तिदा सुंदरी माता जी, एजी प्रीति विलासिनी माता जी, सो सिंसियरली हियरिंग योर ऑल द क्लास माता जी. हरी हरी गौरांगा. थैंक यू बेटा, दंडवत प्रणाम.
थैंक यू सो मच वृंदा गोपिका माता जी. We learn how to be sincere from you only, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanut Pranam. So what a beautiful
Krishna, class, Mataji.
I don't have words. So, like you just took us there. Every single action and of Srila Prabhupada, how his interaction with the devotees, and we can imagine how hard it is to teach a Western person who's born in a Western family Indian cooking. And Prabhupada did it all by himself. And that paved the way for the, you know, basis of prasadam in all ISKCON temples. Right? I was thinking, if not, then it would have been a Western prasadam. So much efforts and so much love and care.
Yes.
Oh, wonderful, Mataji. Thank you so much. You narrated it so well. And the slides as well. So beautiful pictures of Srila Prabhupada with Upendra Prabhu, Janaki Mataji, and the early pictures of San Francisco Temple. Wonderful, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lalitangi Mataji. It's always nectarian to hear Leelamrita from you, Mataji. So waiting for the next class, Mataji. Hare Krishna. But you are right. I mean, I did not think about it that way. We would have Western prasadam in the temple. So yeah, that would be a different experience. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Regarding prasadam, Mataji, I want to share. In South India, for every festival or any occasion, if there is an occasion, we used to make this tamarind rice, then sweet rice, then halwa. These are the standard menu for any festival. Yeah. So if the coming our generation and after our generation, our niece, nephews will ask, why if there is any festival, only the standard routine, why can't we offer pasta, pizza to God? All our relatives, all our in-laws will be saying, oh, we cannot offer all these food. Those are like, what we can say, not sattvic, and we cannot offer all these food. They'll be a little hyper. So because back in India, we don't know all these ingredients without all the, what we can say, onion and garlic, they don't know the recipes and they are not offering. In any festival comes, these are the standard recipes like sweet rice, like tamarind rice. And we have this with the purnalu, in Telugu we call purnalu. So all these are standard recipes and everybody are bored. Festival comes only. So this is a routine we are getting. So but when we came to ISKCON, especially from India to here, we are having the opportunity to taste wide variety of prasadam, not only of our Indian or South Indian cuisine, but we have the opportunity to taste wide variety, Mataji. That is the beauty of the Krishna consciousness. And I tell to my nephews and niece back in India, we prepared, we are offering, oh, you prepare and you offer these also to Krishna? Oh,
wow.
Yeah, it's very nice to listen. They'll be surprised. Yeah, that's true, Mataji. Yeah, thank you, Mataji.
Actually, that is true, because I see that many of my friends from definitely Andhra, Telangana, they all they find it easy. I mean, or it's not so difficult for them, or at least they don't express that difficulty when it comes to making, no onion, no garlic prasad. They find it easy because I think traditionally also in general, you are aware that, okay, these are no onion, no garlic offerings that we can do to the Lord. So,
yeah. Thank you, Mataji.
Andhra, Telangana, you said you are from which place, Mataji? Telangana?
I am from Kerala, a little more south.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I am from Telangana. That's why I thought of asking. I am from Jahirabad. I am from Hyderabad, around 80 kilometers.
Many Matajis here are from.
Nice, brother. Nice.
Shama Supriya Mataji, are you also from Telangana? I know Vinita Mataji.
Yeah. I am also from. After the division, we came to Telangana.
Yeah.
After Diwali is also there from the same place. So yeah. Yeah.
Actually, I'm near to Bidar Mataji, Karnataka, Maharashtra, and Telangana. Border to. Yeah. Thank you, Mataji.
Yeah. Nice, Prabhu.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It is very late over there, but you're still joining. Hare Krishna. Ah, Dandavat pranams to you, Prabhuji. We'll.
Okay. Mataji. What is it, Mataji?
Shall I share the video, Mataji? Or?
Yeah, if you have time.
Okay, very quickly. I'll just take 1 minute.
Okay, Mataji.